Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter number 18. In verse number 9, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Brother Ralph, I believe those are the sweetest words that have ever fell on the Savior's ears. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Word of God said that, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I don't know if I already told you this or not. My mind's not good enough to remember. But I believe one of the reasons that the Lord is blessing Brother C.T., just one of many reasons, I read the foreword to the book about the Burlington Revival, and even in launching out from Asheville, from underneath Brother Sexton's ministry, he sought the blessing of his pastor. He sought the blessing of the church. He gathered the pastors together the other night, told the pastors what was in his heart, but he said, it's not my meeting. He said, this meeting is brought under the local church. And he said, men, it's in my heart to go ahead and schedule a third week. What say you? And there was not a hesitation. Every pastor there slipped their hand up, said, let's go. The Lord broke my heart. I looked at Brother C.T. with tears in my eyes, and I said, Brother, how could you stop if they're still walking down the aisles? I don't want that call on me. Somebody say amen. I'd like to preach to you for a little while this morning, and I mean a little while. You've been patient with me. I reading Brother Ralph's foreword in that book, and he talked about the church there in Asheville being patient with him and all the mistakes that he made. Somewhere or another, I saw my name in that word, mistakes. How that God's people through the years have been so gracious. I'd like to preach to you for a little while on this subject. You can go home justified. You can go home justified. Pray with me, please. Father, I need the touch of the Holy One right now. Lord, I'm glad I sense your touch. I'm glad I sense your presence. Thank you, Lord, for saving Jamie this week. Thank you for saving so many. God, could be that we'll have to be in heaven before we know all that you did just in 1 week. But Lord, I believe we're on the little end of something bigger than us. God, send revival. Lord, I pray. I believe, Lord, you can put such a hunger in our hearts. Lord, we wouldn't want to miss what you're doing. I pray, Lord, you'd just use the message now. Help me, Lord, to be a help in Jesus' precious name. All of God's people said, amen. Jesus speaks a parable here, and I'm going to get right into it. Unto certain which trusteth in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. No one ever got to heaven trusting in themselves. We had to get to heaven. We go to heaven, we'll go trusting in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll give you a couple things preliminary. On the outside, these were two very different men. One was a tithe payer, and the other one was a tax collector. When you looked at them from the outside, they were very different. When you look at us from the outside, we're very different. One preacher said that he was sorry that everybody couldn't be as good looking as he is. I just want to say I'm glad everybody's not as ugly as I am. Amen. They're different on the outside. On the inside, these two men were very similar. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Both men had a void in their life that they were trying to fill. Every man has a void in his life that will be filled with something. Both of these men had a void. Both of them were guilty of sin. And both men were seeking the answer in religion. You say, preacher, what do you mean? They both went to the temple. They had a void. They went to the same place, a place associated with religion. They went for the same purpose. They went to pray. They went at the same time. Can I just say this morning? The difference in the parable is not seen in their arrival. It's seen in their departure. One man goes down to his house justified. The other leaves the same way he came. You know what I believe? I believe Jesus will take anybody just like they are. But I believe when Jesus takes you and Jesus saves you, he loves you way too much to leave you just like you are. I believe on that day he begins a work in your heart and in your life, in my heart and in my life, to make us like Jesus. This pastor does not believe that predestination has anything in the world to do with a sinner. It has everything in the world to do with the saints. When people get saved, God has already determined there's a day coming we're going to be like Jesus. He begins to work to do his will in our hearts and in our lives. I want you to notice just two things in the message this morning. I want you to notice the problem, and I want you to notice the solution. As we notice the problem is sin. Sin within. In verse number 9, there's a misplaced trust. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. It was an inward problem. The Bible said he prayed with himself. Let me just say this to you. I don't care who you're praying to. If you're not talking to Jesus, you're praying to yourself. He is the only mediator between God and man. He's the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our great high priest this morning. He's the only one that's qualified. This man prayed with himself. Let me just say this. This man, this Pharisee, was full of himself. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Well, he's proud of what he's doing. He said, I fast twice in the week. I pay tithes of all that I possess. How many's ever been around somebody full of themselves? Now, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you this question, beloved. If you have an ounce of humility in your being and you get around somebody full of themselves, how many say that makes me sick? Well, if it makes a man sick, you tell me what it makes God. When a man is full of himself, running around bragging on what he's done and what he's accomplished. I've always wanted to say, who gave you the hands? Who gave you the feet? Who gave you the mind? Who gave you that ability? Here's a man full of himself. He's proud. not only, beloved, of what he's doing, but he's exalted himself, proud of what he's doing. He's full of himself. He's proud of what he's not doing. What do you mean, preacher? Well, look right here in the text. He said, I thank you that I'm not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. The problem is sin, sin within, full of himself, exalts himself. But then he's comparing himself. I thought I'd do this morning, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to do it. I was just going to have all of our deacons to come up here this morning. I'm not going to do it for the sake of time. There's five of them. I was going to have them come up here and just show you how that Brother Houston, compared to Brother Ralph, he might be doing pretty good. Brother Ralph, compared to Brother Houston, he might be doing pretty good. Brother Grizzle, compared to Brother Ralph and Brother Houston, might be doing pretty good. Brother David's doing better than all of them. And Brother Rick, we won't even mention him. What are you trying to say, preacher? The Bible says it's not wise. This man's comparing himself. Why? I'm not even like this publican over here. It's not a wise thing to do. Because the standard is not our deacons. The standard is not your pastor. The standard is seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. That's why we can know that the Bible is extremely accurate and it's telling the truth when it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not some, not most, but all. Here is a man that has a problem. He prayed with himself. He's full of himself. He exalts himself. He's comparing himself. Look at Isaiah chapter 65 for just a moment. I'm not going to spend a lot of time there, but I need to read this text. Isaiah chapter number 65. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. In Isaiah chapter 65 and verse number 1, the Bible said, I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. Y'all know what that's talking about right there, don't you? That's talking about us. That's talking about the Gentiles. He said, I've spread out my hands all this day to a rebellious people which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face. The sacrificeth in the gardens, burneth incense upon the altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things in their vessels, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Let me tell you something right now. There may be a whole bunch of people in this room holier than I am, but there's not a one in this room holier than he is. We're not supposed to be comparing ourselves with ourselves. It's a dangerous thing. We notice the problem. The problem is a sin problem. I want you to notice the solution. I'll give you several things quickly. Number one, the solution is found in humility. You say, preacher, what do you mean? The Word of God said, in the publican standing afar off. He didn't even believe that he was qualified to stand where this Pharisee was standing. Let me just say this to you this morning. If you ever really get a grip, a grasp of the grace of God, you will understand that God gave you and I a home in heaven, but we do not deserve it. God gave you and I a church to go to, but we do not deserve it. God gave you and I a Bible, but we do not deserve it. God gave you and I a blessing and an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody else, but we do not deserve it. This man realized he's in the temple.
He doesn't deserve to be there. He doesn't want to be the center of attraction. He's going to stand over here afar off. And the Word of God then said this, he smote upon his breast. I believe that, beloved, listen, it's not only talking about humility, but there's a heaviness. Let me tell you something right now. Sin brings with it a heaviness. He smote upon his breast. Let me ask you a question. How in this world can anybody have the burden of sin lifted off of them and them not know it? There's a heaviness. The solution is found in humility. The solution is found through heaviness. But then the solution is found in honesty. I wrote this down so I could remember it. There's two ways you could say, me a sinner. You could say, me a sinner? Question mark. Or me a sinner? Exclamation point. This man in the temple did not have a question mark. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I know who I am. And I know who you are. And beloved, I believe with all of my heart, when a man gets honest with God, business is fixing to pick up. The Word of God is telling us that the solution is going to be found in honesty. I thank God for that man the other night, 29 years old, that got honest with God. It's so hard. It's so hard. I'm telling you right now, I know from experience, there's a lot of things I don't know from experience, but if you've ever started down the road of religion and somewhere in that journey, you realize things ain't never been right. I still don't have peace. I still don't know if I'm going to go to heaven when I die. It still bothers me to close my eyes at night. I'm telling you right now, beloved, listen. I'm telling you right now, that individual, it's hard for that individual to back up. You just want to keep going. You say, preacher, why did you want to keep going? I'll tell you why. Pride. I didn't want to give it up. I didn't want to admit that I'd never been saved by the grace of God. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Here's a man in the temple. Jesus has given us a picture, a parable. And he said, here's the man that swallowed his pride. Everybody that ever got saved swallowed their pride. Somebody help me right there. I'm not going to fuss. I'm not going to split hairs with anybody, but I don't even believe the phrase is right. Come and give your heart to Jesus. Beloved, when you and I get saved, we have nothing to give. You say, preacher, where'd you get that? How about this? We're dead in trespasses and sin. You tell me what a dead man can give. Nothing. We don't come giving, we come receiving. Now, when you get up off the altar, Hannah in the Bible could not dedicate her son until God first gave her the son. Then she could turn around and give it back to him. Honey, if you ever get saved, the thing to do is turn right around and take the life that God gave you and give it back to him. That's dedication. Notice the solution. The solution is found in humility. It's found through heaviness. It's found in honesty. But the solution is found in honoring. I'll give you a couple things quickly and I'm done. He honored God by requesting of the right person. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Listen to me carefully. He didn't ask Abraham for mercy. He asked God. He didn't ask the high priest in the temple for mercy. He asked God. He didn't ask the pastor for mercy. He asked God. He didn't ask his mom or his dad or his brother or his sister. He asked God for mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He honors God. You say, preacher, what else do you find? He honored God by requesting of the right person. Secondly, he honored God by requesting the right thing. You say, preacher, what do you mean? He asked for mercy. That's what every sinner needs. Whether they ever admit it or not, beloved, every sinner needs mercy. He asked for the right thing. Let me give you something this morning. Listen to me carefully. That man bowed in the altar the other night. And you know why he said he came? He said he wanted assurance. You know what he was doing? Asking for the wrong thing. You say, preacher, you shouldn't have said that. I did. Let me tell you something. Nobody will ever get saved asking God for assurance. God will never assure anybody of something that's not real. He loves you too much to let you be deceived. If a person needs assurance and they ask for assurance, God will give them assurance. But if a person needs to be saved and they ask for assurance, God will not give them assurance. You say that emphatically. Yeah, 6.5 years of emphatically. Oh, God. Here in the Bible, the solution, he honors God. He asks for the right thing. You say, preacher, how could God have mercy on somebody like me? I'll tell you how. There's a Savior that went to a cross and died. He says to those that came by, he said, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father. Now, I'm just going to tell you what I believe. And then in another place, he says, touch me, handle me. Half a spirit, flesh and bones. You say, preacher, what happened? That's what I think happened. I'm going with it. I'll go to heaven with it. If I'm wrong, God can tell me. But I believe Jesus had a little trip to make. I believe the book of Hebrews teaches that everything that in the tabernacle in the Old Testament is a type of that that's in heaven. I believe in heaven there was a mercy seat. I believe in the tabernacle, the mercy seat had to be sprinkled with the blood of animals. But I believe in heaven, the mercy seat had to be sprinkled with the blood of the darling Lamb of God. And I believe Jesus himself sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat. So that when a sinner says, God, be merciful. He said, oh, preacher, I know old so-and-so needs to be saved. They deserve mercy. Oh, no. None of us deserve mercy. We deserve justice. But when an individual gets saved, it's justice that's calling. That's what gets them under conviction. And it's mercy, thank God, that answers. Beloved, listen. The solution is found by honoring. He honored God by requesting of the right person. He honored God by requesting the right thing, mercy. And let me give you this. He honored God by requesting at the right time. You say, preacher, I don't know what you mean by that. Well, let me take you to a story in the book of Luke, chapter 16. The Bible said, the rich man also died and lift his eyes. Not lifted, but lift his eyes in hell. Being tormented in that flame. That's what the Word of God. And he said, Father Abraham, he asked the wrong person, have mercy on me. He asked for the right thing, but he asked at the wrong time. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, beloved, you leave this world without Jesus. It's too late for mercy. There's mercy. You say, preacher, when's the right time? I'll tell you when's the right time. When God, the Holy Spirit, fingers around our heart. I'm going to tell you something. Tonight I went to church. Listen, it was a Sunday night, February 22nd, 1987. I was not looking for him. I say that I was not looking for him, but I want to stop and thank God he was looking for me. He brought me under that old time conviction. I could see myself hanging out over hell. And it was not a problem. I didn't need 10 verses of just as I am. It was not a problem for me to say, Jesus, here I come. My pastor, I never shall forget it, put his arm around me in the altar. I'm not telling the whole story, but when he bowed in the altar, he said, Rick, I'm glad you come, son. He said, there's nothing worth dying and going to hell over. You know what I say this morning? There's nothing worth dying and going to hell over. I'm talking about two men. One man's exalting himself. The other one's exalting the Savior. And the solution went with him to his house. I want to say this. I want to read this and I'm done. I actually read this illustration and then I did some research. And so, Brother Wayne, I know you like to use things in the jail. I've got not only the illustration, but I've got the research, the article that I found that even says more than the illustration. In 1986, I believe it was, right, in the summer of 1986, two ships collided in the Black Sea off the coast of Russia. Now, I learned in the research that they were both Soviet ships. One of them was bearing passengers, and the other one was bearing cargo. I believe it was wheat. Hundreds of passengers died as they were hurled into the icy waters below. News of the disaster was further darkened when an investigation revealed the cause of the accident. Listen to me carefully. It was not a technology problem like a radar malfunction or thick fog. The cause was human stubbornness. The captains of these two ships, now when you go back and do the research and read the article, for 45 minutes, you need to move. I ain't moving. You need to move. I ain't moving. You need to move. That went on for 45 minutes. I believe if I'm not mistaken, it's up there in the article, I believe it's 177 tons of wheat was on that cargo ship. There was over 1,200 passengers, maybe 1,300 passengers on the passenger ship. It said each captain was aware of the other ship's presence nearby. Both could have steered clear, but according to news reports, neither captain wanted to give way to the other. Each was too proud to yield first. By the time they came to their senses, it was too late. That's exactly what it said, Brother Wayne. It was too late. And I'm going to tell you why hell hath enlarged herself. Getting bigger. It got bigger while we were in church this morning. People dropped off into the region of the dam right here while we're at church this morning. I'm going to tell you why it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. Because people in their stubbornness, they're on a collision course with eternity. And in their stubbornness, they will not trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I want to say to you this morning, you can go home justified. How many's glad for that day you went home justified? Do you know whom he justified, then he also sanctified, and whom he sanctified, then he also glorified? In the eyes and the mind of God, I'm as good as already there this morning. It's going to happen. But I want to say this to you this morning. It's a dangerous thing to be stubborn when God is speaking to your heart. You can go home justified. Jamie, let me ask you something, honey. Is it good to be justified? He washed you so clean, took that mess away. I don't know about you, honey, my life was a mess when I came to Jesus. He took that mess away, forgave every bit of it. He'll never bring it up. If it ever comes up, you can mark down what I'm telling you, Jamie. It ain't Jesus bringing it up, it's the devil. Jesus don't bring it up. He's done forgot it. He's done forgiven it. Amen. I want you to know this morning, you can go home justified, but not without Jesus. He's just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning all over the house. It's my prayer this morning that you, like this publican in the temple, would be honest. That you would honor God this morning. That you'd come to a place where you don't want to go on another day. Not justified, not saved, not heaven bound. Father in heaven, this morning, I'm praying right now that you'll draw men with those cords of compassion. Lord, I pray that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit would fall in this place. Lord, that Jesus would be welcome and that all pride would be expelled. There'd be humility among your people. Lord, that man, that woman, that boy, that girl that's here today, not ready to meet God, would not go the way of the Pharisee, but they'd go the way of the publican. They'd run to Jesus. Let's stand together this morning. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. They're going to sing a song of invitation.